Breaking It Down with Frank McKay. This is 103.9 LI News Radio.
I'd like to welcome everyone to Breaking It Down. Frank McKay here. So much more importantly, Park overall is just a wonderful activist and actress. See, I said activist first because she is so committed to all of her wonderful work, and she is just wonderful. You know her acting work, and that's wonderful as well. Empty Nest was a TV show that got so much attention. And Biloxi Blues, great movie. Talk Radio, Mississippi Burning, In the Family. I could go on forever. She's got a resume a mile long. She's absolutely terrific. And thrilled to have her here as much for her activism as for her acting. Park, overall, how are you?
Thank you, darling. I always tell people, Luxy Blues, yeah, I was a whore in that.
With pride. And you played it well. You played it great.
Thank you. That was my first big thing. Thank you.
Well,
where are you? In Brooklyn or something? You're so Yankee.
I sound you sound pretty Southern to me, but I'm on Long Island.
Oh, Long Island, yeah. Now, I've worked with you boys down around Wall Street on Water Street and whatnot in office jobs. Y'all are an interesting bunch, you Long Islanders.
Well, yeah? Tell us a little bit about, well, actually, let's do a little bit of your history, if you don't mind, and start from the beginning. It sounds like you weren't born in Brooklyn. It sounds like you spent a little time down south. Were you born in Tennessee?
In Nashville, but I grew up in East Tennessee in the little town of Greenville. That's Greenville with an extra E, and home of the only other almost impeached president.
Yeah, that's wow. Yeah, Andrew Johnson.
Yes, very
How about
good.
That? Wow.
Yeah,
Andrew.
Yeah.
Is there any monuments to Andrew Johnson down there? Is it a big?
Yes, he's got a tombstone that's this huge phallic symbol up into the sky. I forget if it has an eagle on top. And then we've got his tailor shop, and his little wife's dresses hang there, and she had a 13-inch waist.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. My gosh. Yeah, so we do. He was a tailor, see? So we do have great monuments to him and his house, which is beautiful and well-preserved in downtown Greenville, yes. And they give tours, yes.
You know why it's interesting? Because, of course, he was the vice president under Lincoln, and he went on to become president, and then the impeachment hearings and all of that. But he also he sided with the North in the Civil War. And, you know, obviously, if he was elected and he sided with the North. So I would think that some of the Southerners down there probably didn't like him. Is there any truth to that? Or, you know, is he well regarded as a heroic figure?
He's very well regarded here, in my opinion, because we've had just so many people take an interest in him. And we also have the General Morgan Inn, which was a general from the Civil War that was allegedly having an affair that allegedly ran through a vineyard of just a one alcove of grapevines. There was lightning, and he was shot. And I don't know if we can believe that story, but there's the place right where he died by the Episcopal Church. And so we're very proud of our history. I, on the other hand, if you read Andrew Johnson's work, which I have not much of,
right.
But he uses the N-word at will.
Yeah.
And that's the time. That's the time. Everyone did. But, you know, people nowadays don't truck with that. So
Lyndon Johnson, never mind Andrew Johnson, Lyndon Johnson used the N-word. And he was a lot later than Andrew Johnson. He was over 100 years after Andrew Johnson, and he used exactly 100 years afterwards. And if you think about it, you know, he got a lot of votes from the African Americans. And
there's a little girl that came that was my hairdresser, may she rest, granddaughter. and she was raising her, and the granddaughter goes to a Seventh-day Adventist school. Now, Park has never been politically correct.
Right.
And she said that her teacher said, and she was in about, oh, I'd say 7th, 8th grade, that her teacher said that Lyndon Johnson was not a good president. And I nearly came up out of my chair, my hair chair, and I said, you tell your teacher, Park Overall said, go tell the blacks that.
Right.
And she said she did. I don't know if she did or not. But anyway, Lyndon Johnson's one of my favorites. The master of the Senate, baby.
Yeah, well, listen, no, I'm with you. I mean, he did a tremendous amount of work. He just, his language was so politically incorrect. And
Yes. I thought it was darling, but that's me. I have a bit of a sailor's mouth myself.
Well, listen, all of that aside, let me remind folks that are just tuning in or turning on their radios a little late that Park Overall is our very special guest. I've been hounding her to get her on the show because she's wonderful, and she's an actress and an activist. And again, her resume is a mile long. Started out with Mississippi Burning. And, was it Biloxi Blues or Mississippi Burning? What was the first one?
Yeah, both of those.
Yeah. I mean, both of them were great movies with great co-stars.
For that tiny little part in Mississippi Burning, I got critical acclaim. I sure did.
You got a lot of attention, too. You know, not just critical acclaim, but the fans loved you after that. And you stood out. And,
But everybody in Long Island is going, Park who?
That's all right. The Southern listeners that we have, we're not just on in Long Island. I'm here in Long Island, but we got a lot of listeners outside and a lot of Florida listeners, a whole bunch of stations around the country. So,
Who liked me was Canadians, too. I found that interesting. I got a lot of Canadian fan mail. Isn't that odd?
I would think you get a lot of fan mail from all over the place. Empty Nest was a show that was really popular. And
I am just really popular at some prison in Pennsylvania.
But tell me about that. What is that?
I don't know. There was a while there that I was just getting requests for a picture after picture, so I'd always send one, so I just got tons of requests from that penitentiary in the prison in Pennsylvania.
Does it worry you when you get those kind of requests? And I don't mean just that specific.
Well, they were lovely. They were all lovely. And Andrew Vex had written a thing for me that said if you are a baby raper, a domestic abuse practitioner, and something else, I won't answer you, so give me your prison number. And boy, they started writing me just saying that they were not baby rapers, they were not domestic violence practitioners, here's what they were in for, and could they have a picture?
Yeah.
And they'd give me their prison number, and so I became very popular at that pen.
You know, I've visited a lot of people in prison and in jails and different things like that. But no baby rapers or no domestic violence people. Mostly people that did something stupid and they made a mistake and they screwed up and they wish they could take it back. But, you know, it's one of the low points in somebody's life or whatever. You know, thankfully, I've never been. But, you know, there are folks that do screw up and they make a mistake and, you know, they end up in prison and they'd love to turn back the clock. Or maybe they were young and they screwed up and did something.
Well, I know some guys that went to prison for marijuana. I mean, come
crazy.
On.
That's crazy.
It's crazy. Well, we're figuring out that it's crazy, and things are changing slowly but surely.
Yeah, well, when did you start becoming aware of the world around you? And again, that's, you know, I know that sounds like a big question, but...
No, but very late. I was so married to ambition for myself and myself alone for the longest time. And it wasn't until Andrew said to me, now he's a writer of wonderful novels. He represents abused children, and they don't have any money, so he writes fictional novels to support them. Wonderful books. May I recommend Shelley? But he said to me, what you do isn't real. And I realized that was true. And I had always been interested in the river, my river, the Nolichucky. And I just began to focus on that and had some luck at it early. We got on Primetime Live, and the feds had to come in, and we cleaned that river by half. And so I've just stayed after that since 1998. So 1998 is about when I met some, it was the women that were involved. I asked Primetime Live to come. They came. And at 3 a.m. California time, I had just flown back into L.A., the phone rang, and this woman said to me, I know your name. I ain't going to give you mine. I want to know your business in this. And I sat up, and I said, well, let me make me some coffee. And you called me. And she did, and we became the dearest of friends. And she and Joan Robinette, who's very famous in coal country, for her work, they worked on Cooper Industries. They won that lawsuit. They were paralegals. Joan is in books like Women of Coal. Those are great Harlan County, Kentucky stories. It's the women that I became involved with that really had stories of Appalachia and interested me in what's, because Appalachia is really raped, and it's very corrupt. It's very, a whole lot of, what do you call it, industrial war complex stuff here, and that's dirty, and that's radioactive, and I could go on and on and bore all your listeners with this riff.
I don't think you're boring anyone. Park overall, once again, activist and actress, is our very special guest. And again, Empty Nest, Biloxi Blues, Mississippi Burning, Talk Radio, which was close to my heart.
Oh, right? That was such a trip for me.
Yeah.
Oliver is just a bastard, and I adore him.
Yeah.
Oh, I just adore him. When I went into audition for that, there was a room full of, like, what do you call them, jocks sitting around. One of them was a friend of mine, too, that became a friend. What's his name? Names go first when you get my age.
Yeah.
Anyway, and they were just, he was just moving around papers on his desk, and Oliver was just a bastard, and they were giggling, and I just was like, the girl that came out before me was crying. And so he said, stand up, and I said, you bastard. And I stood up and did the audition, and I got the part. And that way I knew how to handle Oliver.
We should point out that Oliver is Oliver Stone, for those who don't know the movie. But, it's a disturbing movie and great movie.
Very, very. I said to Eric Bogosian, as we're sitting on those headphones doing the radio thing, that's my voice. I'm not actually in it. My voices are.
Yeah.
And the talk radio. And I said, he was talking at the wherever they were sitting, and we were down in a little sound booth, and he said something about B'nai B'rith, and I said, what? I don't know what is B'nai B'rith, and he said, of course you don't.
Wow.
Now, let me ask you, why would I?
Yeah.
Why would a girl from East Tennessee know that? I don't know. I've never gotten over that.
Some girls from New York City. There's some Jewish girls from New York City who don't know what B'nai B'rith is. So why would an Eastern Tennessee girl necessarily have to know what B'nai B'rith is?
Thank you.
Yeah, well, that's a harsh statement, and it's a terrible statement for him to make. I think nowadays,
I just didn't know, you know? I've never heard of it, so anyway.
Well, but the thing is that you don't say things like that anymore, or you're not supposed to anyway. And I think that's good in the sense. And I know, you know, political correctness has gotten out of the way, but, I wouldn't assume that you would know things that people in Long Island would naturally know. And there's things that you have to assume that I won't know about, you know, Eastern Tennessee or wherever, you know, and Appalachia. And, you know, Appalachia, you know, you're right as far as, you know, it's been screwed like you wouldn't believe.
And when you start following that paperwork, my dear, we are poisoned irrevocably. We found highly enriched bomb-grade uranium for 90 miles downstream and plutonium. I mean, it's really – that's our drinking water. You understand that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah. Here, let me ask you about Appalachia, because so many people just assume – the worst, and that there's very few people, relatively speaking, in Appalachia as compared to the cities or anything there. But they also assume, and again, this isn't me, this is, you know, like I would think an assumption out there, that there's a lack of education there, that the school systems are worse, and they don't get funding. And the politicians don't necessarily give them funding because a lot of folks in Appalachia may not vote. And that's why they get screwed, and it's terrible.
Oh, that's interesting. I had never thought of that, actually. You see, Tennessee used to be middle. There's three Tennessees, East, Middle, and West, and that's how we've always called ourselves. Well, Middle and West used to be entirely Democratic. I don't know what happened. East was always Republican. I don't know what happened to Middle and West. I have no idea. Maybe because it became a right-to-work state, and so people came here for low-paying jobs. Was that arrogant of me?
No, I don't think any of this is. And you know, right. you're being honest, and you know, you're giving a viewpoint from somebody who lives there. And if you're not offended by that, I don't think anybody outside of your area should be. And I think you might be right. I mean, I think that that attraction to an area has a lot to do with the policies and work. I mean, why would you move to an area? You move to an area for the most part to work.
I feel so sorry for the Yankees and the Floridians that move here, and they do. They love it here. We have so many, and they just don't know how filthy this area is. Or how dangerous this river is. And that includes all the rivers in East Tennessee, the Pigeon, the Nolichucky, the Holston, the French Broad. They just don't know. It's as beautiful. It is the most deceptive mirage in the place. You know, it's scary. It's scary.
You know, I've been to...
They love it. They love it here.
I've been to Tennessee my whole life, and again, Park Overall is the voice you're hearing. Wonderful actress and activist Frank McKay here with Park Overall. I've been to Tennessee my whole life, back and forth, and never spending too much time in one place. But my father, when he was around, he passed away now, but we didn't see him all through our teenage years. But before that, he talked about moving to Knoxville. He was in love with Knoxville.
Town, baby, K-Town.
Yeah. So, I don't know why. I mean, that's where University of Tennessee is, right, Knoxville? But I don't know why he was so attracted. It's beautiful. It is a beautiful area. And,
stunning.
You know, and
yeah.
I love the area I love, and I'm trying to think of the name of the city. It begins with a G. It's not far from Dollywood. It's on the border of Kentucky and Tennessee. What is it? Gatesville. What is it?
That's Georgia, ain't it? One time I had a guy hit on me. He was so good looking, and he said, "You've probably heard of me. I'm very famous in Gate City."
Did it work? I
don't know where you mean, but anyway.
You know, the guy who played in the Dukes of Hazzard, he actually went on to become a congressman, Ben Jones. I've had him on the show a couple times. I haven't had him in a long time, but he became a congressman. He played Cooter.
Now, I didn't know that, and I ought to know that.
Yeah, and he had a place in this area, and it's really like a resort-type area. And I'm trying to. Oh boy, I'll think of it. But it's it's a wonderful, beautiful area, and the Smokies in general.
Are you saying Granger County? Granger County?
No, I don't think so. I'll figure it out. I'll look at a map before we're done. But anyway, Tennessee is a beautiful, beautiful state, and you think of it as being clean, but you saw a lot of things that just weren't right, and you spoke up, and you put your money where your mouth is, you put your time where your mouth is, and you concentrated on what was close to you, and that was that river. And to me, you're a heroic figure with what you've done, and not just you, but other activists like you. But you have your name, and you put your name to it, and everything else, and a lot of people followed once you got. And again, I'm just reading from afar, but I've always known you as much as being an activist as an actress, and you're a terrific actress as it goes. Park Overall, once again, is our very special guest, and she is an activist slash actress, or the other way around. You know her work for from Empty Nest, which is a very wildly popular TV series, and she was wonderful on that. Biloxi Blues, Mississippi Burning, Talk Radio, in the Family, so many other things. You look at her IMDb, it's a mile long, and it's good work. It's all, you know, really terrific work. Frank McKay.
Very proud of it. Thank you, darling. I'm very proud of it. I'm particularly proud of In the Family.
Yeah.
Isn't that a wonderful film? If you haven't seen it,
great
I recommend
movie.
It. You can get it on Vudu, I think. It's called Vudu. Or you can order the DVD for all you gay boys out there. It's about the gay without saying the word gay in it one time. It's a wonderful, brilliant film by Patrick Wang. And Patrick produces and directs his own stuff because it's too smart for Hollywood. It's too good. It's art, high art films. And that's my proudest moment, I think, was In the Family.
Sally, you played the role of Sally, right? Am I remembering this right?
No, it wasn't Sally. It was just the mother. What's her name? And oh, and I got to work with
Hold on, I'm looking now. It says Sally Hines. You're mixing.
Was it Sally?
Sally Hines, I'm right.
Those women's names go away after all those roles. You don't remember the day, but I do remember John, who's the daddy in Ray Donovan.
Oh,
the dad.
I know who you're talking about. I don't know.
His brother did the wild thing, you make my heart sing, and all that. And, I just loved working with him.
I'm trying to figure out who that is. I also, Kindergarten Cop, you played with Schwarzenegger, didn't you?
Yeah. He was sort of fun, yeah. A lot of women in that one, I remember that. That's where I think I met Kathy Moriarty, and she in there with me.
Yeah.
I just loved her, too, golly, yeah. Yeah, Kathy was in that, I think.
What was your impression of Schwarzenegger?
Well, he's just a European, ambitious, fun guy. He was fun. He was fun. You know, he was, and he was probably at the height of his career.
Unless you want to count him being elected twice as California governor.
As an actor.
Right.
An actor. And he just made a great life for himself. I'm so sorry they divorced. I thought that was a great marriage.
Yeah. Well,
that little girl, the first girl was born in. He had it on his arm, and I saw him, and that was the prettiest baby you ever saw.
Mm.
That was a pretty baby. Anyway.
Well, let me ask you something. You've mentioned the words word ambition a couple of times. It's one of the words that I focus on, too, and you mentioned that you were so caught up in your own ambition early on, and you were an activist early on, but in some ways, if you didn't get to where you were as an actress, you might not have been as much helpful to the activist, or you might not have had the resources or the wherewithal to be able to help the people if it wasn't for that early ambition. So, like, nobody should...
Ain't that the truth, darling? Yeah. Ain't that the truth?
You know.
My regret is that I couldn't become more famous and a bigger star in order to apply even more pressure here. I wish that I had stayed at it a little longer and, you know, but I retired, so...
You know,
I'd rather do this all day long than that, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, you know, so many people listening would say, well, how famous does she want to be? I mean, you had all these huge movies. You had a great, you know, like, what the hell are you talking about? I mean, 99.9% of the people trying to make it as an actress would kill.
Well, okay, I respect that. You're right. But, I mean, you know, a big star in a big way would have been so much, it would be easier for me to really pressure these, no offense, carpetbaggers.
Yeah, no offense.
Particularly the DOE and DOD, for instance. Tennessee's a very nuclear state, and we're just, and one thing people aren't thinking of, where you have these nuclear reactors, okay, you understand that the planet is warming and that the rivers are warming and that the ocean is warming. Therefore, those rivers were to cool the reactors. So what happens when the water gets too warm, folks? You know, think in the future. Think forward a little bit. I don't understand people. I don't understand our desire to destroy the earth. And Clement. Was it Frank or Bob? I always got them confused. Clement is the one that turned Tennessee into a nuclear state to go ahead with all this nuclear business. And he could never have known how crazy it would have gotten. He could never have known how corrupt it could have gotten. My mentor is in her 80s and has beaten TVA in a court of law 6 times.
Wow.
That's how corrupt they are. And she's just a great grandmother. She ain't a lawyer. She ain't nothing but a great grandmother sitting on the plateau, the Cumberland Plateau. And she has beat them. And she's taught me so much about how it works. And what's happened to people is we don't have civics anymore. So the states and the EPA turn out this really complicated material. Well, she taught me just to read it. You just read it. You look at the date. After you read enough of these documents, you begin to see a pattern. And it's not that hard. You've just got to get through the words. Then you begin to see what they're doing. And what they're doing is hidden behind all that technical data. And then when I get in trouble, I just hire a consultant. You see, it's not that hard. They just make you think it's that hard so you won't fool with it. And nobody does.
Yeah, it works. What they've done is they've discouraged people and they've made it complicated. And again, Park overall is the voice that you're hearing. Wonderful actress and activist, Frank McKay here with Park. But what they do, I mean, why is law, for example, in Latin? Tell me why in a million years would you put American law in Latin, a language that's been dead for centuries, and they keep it that way because then you have to hire lawyers to fight for the law. And who are the politicians? And again, I'm involved politically, so I'm not damning anybody that that's involved in anything that I'm not. But the politicians, for the most part, are lawyers, and the senators and the assembly people are lawyers, and they're changing law to complicate things and to do things. So you have to hire their buddies, the lobbyists.
Frank, I am so disappointed in myself that I didn't go to law school. I'm so disappointed in myself. It would have really helped me a lot had I done that.
Can you still go? I mean, would you still?
You know, it's like getting a little late.
No, I mean, why? You know, people are living to 100 now, easily living to 100. And you said your mentor is 80, right? And she's still at it. You know, she could easily live to 100 years old. People are living well past 100 nowadays with everything. And if, you know, if you, you know, do what you keep doing and get the environment a little better, and you're obviously up on all these things, and you know what's there, why not get a law degree?
Let me tell you, I just bought a new used car.
Yeah.
Honey, I can't even operate the radio. That's why I don't go back to law school. I don't think I'm smart enough. I don't even understand this thing called a fob.
Yeah.
I don't even understand how to operate the damn radio, okay?
Yeah. Well, all right. Well, yeah, don't say not smart enough, though. I mean, there's a lot of brilliant people that don't know how to operate, you know, the internet. You know, there's, you know, you could throw Einstein, bring him back to life and throw him in front of the internet, and he wouldn't know how to Google something, maybe. You know, it's applied to different things, and a lot of people can't remember lines. A lot of people can't do certain things that other people are skilled at. And I mean, what about you? And we're switching gears here for a second, but was acting easy for you, or was it something that
yes.
you really had to work at?
Yes, it was easy. And when I got a good teacher named Leonard Peters in New York, I began to really see how, if you get in trouble, what to do and to fall back on. And you see, Frank, I don't mean to be a snob, but I can't watch American TV anymore. The emptiness behind these young people, the emptiness in their eyes, and all they're doing is memorizing lines. They're not at all the person that they are supposed to be portraying. You've got to come with a weight, with a heaviness to you. You've got to. So I spend all my time, I hate to be such a snob, but I watch foreign movies. Now, I do love me some Jason Statham and stuff in some action films, you know. Mm-hmm. But in terms of art, I really like foreign films because those actors are from the old school.
Yeah. No, I get it. I mean, forget about actors, memorizing their lines. What about actors that aren't actors? What about the Kardashian versions of the world,
well,
the snookification of America?
That was the beginning of the end, was the reality show. And
yeah.
Les Moonves invented the reality show and put it on the TV, and that became, you know, the rage. And that was that was wrong in my holier-than-thou book, you know. That ruined American television, I think.
Yeah.
And then it gives the young people this idea that you don't work, you just get lucky. Acting is work, and it's a craft. It's not about just being in the right room at the right time, which is a lot of it. But once you hit that, you've got to know what you're doing, and reality shows aren't about acting. Mm. I don't know what the hell they're about, but they don't interest me.
Do you know, I had an interview. It was a TV interview, and we just applied it to radio. And it was of the Jersey Housewives, Teresa Gadis and Joe.
See, I don't know these shows.
Yeah, well, I didn't know them either. My wife had to tell me real quick about them. And I did the guy's first interview, Joe. And again, I'm not disparaging them or whatever, but I didn't know anything about them. When we put
yes.
it up on SoundCloud, over 1 million people listened to this thing. And 500,000 people listened
wow.
to it. Yeah. I mean, 500,000 people listened to that show on just
wow.
one little outlet, one little, you know, internet outlet, and they just went
wow.
all over this thing. And I don't even know how. I mean, we just put it up, and it just went viral or whatever you want to call it. And then, you know, and there's dozens of other outlets that are, you know, I'm on 48 different outlets. And, you know, some of them are online and some of them are AM, FM, and whatever. But that show, for whatever reason, 1 million people listen to that show, and I don't even know what the hell we're talking about.
Atlanta House. What about those Atlanta housewives?
Yeah, I mean, I would take them because I know a million people would listen. I wouldn't pound my chest and be all proud of it or whatever. But still, it's unbelievable, you know. And Les Moonves, who's a brilliant guy, you might be right. He might have destroyed TV at doing it, but they're making money, and that's unfortunately.
That's the point, is that it's become about who hits and who makes the money rather than about the talent involved. I'll go to see a big movie, and it's just so Hollywood. Whereas if I watch a foreign film, we don't have that problem. Do you understand? There's a difference between a Hollywood film and another film, or an independent film, a Sundance film. These kind of things are, to me, much more watchable than a Hollywood film. The Hollywood film is just the serenity.
Oh, I get it. I guess the superhero movies and all that. I watch them with my kids, you know, because they like them.
If I had kids, I'd watch them too.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah, that's it. And I tell them I love it or whatever, but I don't love it. It's, you know, those aren't my type of movies. I'll tell you, but let me remind folks of who they're listening to. They're listening to a wonderful actress. Really a wonderful actress. And Empty Nest is the sitcom that you'll remember her for, but Biloxi Blues and, is it Biloxi Blues? Am I, that's my accent coming out. Mississippi Burning.
Biloxi.
I got to go there. I got to go see a guy in the Air Force, a kid I know, a good kid. He just graduated from the boot camp, and he's going to be stationed in Biloxi. But anyway, talk radio, and In the Family is a must-see, everyone.
That is
a must-see. Really, she's wonderful.
Beautiful. Yeah. I'm proud of you.
Yeah, well, you should be. You should be proud of all the things you've done. You put together an amazing career. And look, we got a couple moments left, but give us a little bit of your background. You said where you grew up. What was your first big break? What was the first? I know the first movie, but how did you get it? How did you get to that point?
Okay, that's an interesting story because the room was full of, and I'm sorry, but I don't know the politically correct term, midgets. What is
little people. Little people.
Little people. It was full of little people. Now, I'm an East Tennessee girl, and I've never been around any little people. So I don't know what is politically correct, but I know I'm in New York City, and I better be politically correct. And I go in and audition, and the man gives me direction, and I take it, and I'm a nervous wreck about all these little people because I don't know whether to say hi or I don't know what to do.
Right.
I really just didn't know what to do.
Right.
I was too young and dumb and stupid. And I got the part. And, well, that's not true. I didn't get the part. It was midget, little people, mud wrestling.
Wow.
It was, and it didn't get picked up. I didn't get the part. But like a year later, I get a phone call saying this part has been written for me. I either get it or I don't. They'll get me to Hollywood, and it was Whit Thomas Harris. It was Paul Witt that was the man in that room that day.
Mm-hmm.
And they wrote Laverne for me.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
And all
wow.
I was worried about was little people.
Yeah. Well, listen.
Wild how life goes, ain't it?
Yeah. You're not kidding. I mean, it's surreal. It's like the Twilight Zone. To walk into a situation, and again, that's not to disparage. I've had a lot of little people on the show, and you know, we never even mention. Whenever I interview them, I make sure I don't even mention that they're. If they bring up the fact that they, you know, as a short frame actor or whatever actress, or as a little person, if they bring it up, then you know, then I address it. But the thing is, like, I try not to be, you know, offensive, you know, about it. But
I had never, ever been in the same room with one, ever.
Mm.
And the room was full of them, do you understand?
Yeah.
And I was absolutely mystified and realized
you must have felt like Dorothy. You must have felt like Dorothy.
I didn't know how to behave. I didn't know what to do. And looking back on it now, how foolish, just how entirely crazy foolish I don't know, but that's how it. Ask me who my favorite person was.
Who? Who was your favorite person?
Bianca Jagger, Bianca Jagger, Bianca Jagger.
No kid. Why?
An inner heat, a wisdom, a sexiness, a Europeanness that was just
wow.
Overwhelming and bright. She's right now, it turns out, you know, she's a big activist, too. So that may have had a lot to do with it. But I've never enjoyed a person that much or been as interested in a person. And I'm not gay. I don't mean it like that.
Yeah, no, I get it. But
and
you wonder. I mean, Mick Jagger could have had anybody in the world, and he picked Bianca at that point to be his
well,
wife.
I understand why. Not that she hung around much.
Right.
You know. I just really enjoyed her, and I really enjoyed, if you look at the directors I've worked for, there is something they all have in common. They are great directors, and those guys bring a quality just in the way they direct. They make everybody rise to their highest ability, and that much is very true, like Oliver and Hugh Hudson, all those people. They were just great. They are great, and they make you do your very best work. They have that kind of charisma. It's a heat. It's a feeling. And you rise to that. And It was a wonderful experience. It's been a good life, dear.
You mentioned two words in there. You mentioned one of them being quality, and a quality person, quality actress, quality activist has just been with us this whole time, and hopefully I can get her back for a part two. I've been stalking her to get her on. I've been hounding the poor lady, but Park overall has been our very special guest. She is wonderful. She is an activist, actress, and just a wonderful person. And she's not always politically correct, right? She's,
no,
you know.
No.
Not always.
You know, that's the East Tennessee in me, dear.
No. Don't apologize. Whatever you do, don't apologize for being wonderful. You're wonderful. And I'm thrilled to have you. And like I said, hopefully I get you back. And
Frank, it's just a pleasure to meet you. I've enjoyed this very much.
Well, we got to get you again. Give us a website or a social media site if you have to.
Well, I have my Facebook, and I've got about 10,000 followers, and it's me on an elephant. But there's a Park Overall fan page, but I don't go there. I don't know how it's there. And there's it's my Facebook that I use. It's me on an elephant when I was young and darling.
You're still darling, and you're still young. And people are living to 100, so don't even give it a second thought. Park, thanks a million for being here. You just keep
Thank
doing
you,
what you're
Frank.
Doing. Thank you for all you're doing.
All the best to you, darling. Bye.
Bye-bye. And to everyone here, check out Park Overall. Check out our IMDb. I guarantee you there are movies in there that you haven't seen that you will see, and she is just wonderful. She's an actress and activist and just a pleasure to talk to. Empty Nest. It was a big television show, 20 years ago, 30 years ago maybe, and Biloxi Blues, Mississippi Burning, Talk Radio, three of the big movies. In the Family is something she's proud of, and she should be. She's really absolutely terrific in all that she's done. Park Overall has been our very special guest. A tremendous amount of attention off of the accent, as you could hear. Kindergarten Cop, she was in Kindergarten Cop, and you've seen her on one-offs as in The Golden Girls and different things like that, and she's just terrific to talk to. Frank McKay signing off. Park Overall has been our very special guest, and we'll see you all next time on Breaking It Down.